Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host John Crockett and we are talking all things round 5 and the waiver wire pickups. And to do that, as usual, is the great man, the Statesman. Welcome to you.
Absolute carnage this weekend and all my teams got smashed to hell. But anyway, that's okay. It's a weekend. The footy's on. I don't really understand all the negativity talking about this and that. It's just fantastic. You look at some other countries that are just doing so poorly with all of this. And I think even though there's some issues in Victoria right now, the rest of it is going so well. Please enjoy. We're slowly getting our life back. Don't be so negative on it. Enjoy it. It's great fun. I giggled when the first major injury happened. I cried a little the second one, but once they started multiplying, it started to be a real issue. But that's fantasy football. We've all got to move on, but plenty of good things to talk about.
Yeah, see, I'm a bit like Dwayne Russell commentating my team this week. I do a bit of a shake and bake, may have this dance sidestep and avoided all the carnage. I'm doing pretty well, so pretty happy this week. Except I did cop a bit of flack on the social medias for an alleged chicken nugget Palmer, and this all this started from probably a man who is smaller than Caleb Daniel, that is Cam McLaughlin. Welcome.
You know what? That chicken that Palmer would have made me look big. I was a tiny Palmer man.
It actually wasn't. It's the way I took the photo. Because it was actually a real chicken breast, not that frozen shit you get at the normal pub. So it was actually high, not pounded to a flat pancake.
So. All right. So you're going with the perspective thing, hey? I'm sure that's what you say all the time.
That's
all
defense,
sorts of size was, things, hey?
That's right. It's not the size, it's how you eat it.
Yeah, I avoided all the carnage this week as well. I've gone full Neo in the Matrix, just dodging bullets everywhere.
Well, except for Matt Rowell, but
everyone's got him. It doesn't matter.
But yeah, that is all good. No Stevie Fizz this week, taking another week off. But we're going to kick it straight in the dick and start talking about round 5. And I'm going to start off with the Blues and the Saints, just the things we've noticed. And it is Rowan Marshall's season, I think, going to be for a long time because he just looks so comfortable as that number one ruckman with Paddy Ryder. Gets around the ground, gets to all the contests. And if you're owning him, you're loving life right now. It seems St Kilda is not only going the double tag, but they're using the defensive tag of Jaron Geary. Was on Sam Doherty on the weekend and did keep Doherty semi-quiet, but Doherty is a gun and did end up going well. But Jaron Geary is the forward. Kicked a couple of snags, looked all right. Mark Murphy, if you're an owner of him, I'd be pretty worried because it seems like he is now out of that midfield group in the CBAs. And it looked like Will Setterfield was getting a lot of time in that midfield. So if he's available on your waiver wires or you can snag him up as a bit of a steak knife package, it might be worth and a bit of an investment going forward. Callum Wilkie, we've got to talk about him mainly for your super coaches, but a little bit your AFL fantasy. He's actually been scoring pretty well. Is he the real deal, or is it just that the teams St Kilda have been playing and the ball's coming in there and he's been getting a lot of that rebound defense? So has been scoring better super coach, not so much at AFL fantasy. And Paddy Cripps, he's got to learn to shake a tag. He was well held by Jack Steele early on, but did come good, so something to work on there. Maybe the Carlton midfielders can help protect him a bit more, sort of like what the Western Bulldogs do with Liberatore if Bontempelli's getting tagged, something similar like that. Your thoughts, boys?
Well, to be honest, I should have known at halftime on Thursday night that it was going to be a shit weekend of fantasy when Paddy Cripps was sitting there with 10 points. But look, he did work his way out of it. So end up getting a BCV ton.
6 free kicks helped as well.
It was a pretty good performance. It was a good comeback. So seeing him be able to work out of it, because some people when they get such a strong tag on them can actually drop the bundle and lose the plot for the game. So working back in the second half was pretty positive. Yeah. But look, at the end of the day, Jack Steele's one we've missed out on. We've been talking about him a little bit, but I'm pretty sure his ADP was in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And Jono, just for your Setterfield call as well, 53% owned in Ultimate Footy, so he's probably sitting there on some waivers.
Didn't even have him for the waiver wire pickups, but I should have. So, but I've drank a lot of alcohol this weekend, so I'm allowed to miss them. Cam, what have you...
Sorry, speaking about that, how's Dry July going, Cam?
Mate, I feel thirsty. that's what I feel. But I genuinely feel pretty good after a week. And so we're trying to set an end date. I was talking to Fizz before, and he's given me an excuse.
Dry July end date's the 31st of July.
So this is now, this is about pettiness and stubbornness. So we're going as long as we can. And good. Yeah, but he's then come to the party with, I'm going on holiday, though, at some point, so we'll need to probably end it before that. That, to me, sounds like he's going to get pissed over that holiday. That's an out. Fizz.
But everyone keep donating to Cam and Steve. Keep buying Cam those tickets so we can have a drink at the pub and lose that bet so we can see him do a 180 kickflip down the track.
I'm 3 weeks ahead of you all, so I'll hop in as well because I think I'll be the winner at the end.
Can't just jump on a moving train. Get out.
He's a statesman. He can do what he wants. Cam, talk us through the Pies and the Bombers.
Treloar is back, and he absolutely justified his first-round draft pick status this year. So he finally got his first game in the books after a series of soft tissue injuries, kept him out for the first few rounds, and he just, you know, eased his way back into it with the 30 disposals and 5 tackles on his way to 105 AFL fantasy points and 119 Supercoach. He only played about 50% game time in the first half as well, but he ended up finishing on about 74%. I think they'll slowly bring that up over the next few weeks if his body holds up, and this is just sort of getting the game time into his legs. So he could end up just being one of the best scorers of the competition. It really suits his gameplay, this shorter format, I think. They have the Hawks next week as well, who, you know, they're ranked 18th for clearances per game and give up the 4th most amount of kicks in the league. So as far as being complementary to Collingwood's game style, absolutely that is, and it really should favour someone like Treloar. The next point is that Jake Stringer, suffered a cindy. So he's out for 3 months, same injury that Josh Dunkley suffered, and they reckon was only going to be 6 to 8 weeks. They're saying 3 months for Stringer. He's been taking close to 10 centre bounces a game for the Dons, and while it probably proves that CBAs aren't necessarily the only stat to watch, he's been really effective using his body. So not a stat that you'll actually get fantasy points for, but he makes way for McGrath and Scheel to be dominant. So now that he's gone and, you know, likely to miss that 3 months, the question is who's actually going to get that time in the middle?
Throw it to you. From suspension.
Well, but he's been playing on the wing. So who do you reckon? Is it Parrish? Is it Langford? Mitch Hibbard?
Mitch Hibbard didn't weekend though.
He didn't, but he was drafted as an inside mid. So now that there's an inside mid necessary, maybe they'll throw him in there.
Look, I've got an interest in Parrish, but in saying that, you've got to look what they think the right mix is. Now, if it is about the big body, that's where Hibbard gets his chance. But Langford's actually spent a bit of time in that mid as well, so they might just... they might just share the rotation, so look at bringing in a forward, and therefore they can share Stringer's time with a Hibbard, with a Parrish, and
a Langford.
One or two others. Yeah, Langford's probably part of that mix now. So there might be, rather than just one person get a huge bump, there just might be a bit of a share bump.
Yep, and just one to keep an eye on through the week. It wasn't reported on the match report, but Maynard actually took a really big bump towards the end of the game and sat out about the last 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Looked like a rib sort of thing. If it's not on the official report, probably not going to be anything in it, but just be cautious of it and look for the injury list on Tuesday.
And that's the last thing they need is more injuries in their back line.
Yeah, absolutely. They are light.
Eagles and Swans, you check that out, Stato.
Yep, Swans do and will tag. So just use an example of what happened on the weekend. They went an inside and they went an outside. So Gaff, who had an average of 102 before the weekend, could only manage a 66. That's a massive impact. So just continue to be mindful of who your captain options are, especially if they're playing against the Swan. The second point, there is one exception to that, and that is the ruck positions. But we also found that they gave a lot of points to key position tools this weekend. So Nick Nat got 86, and we know he has limited game time. We're talking BCV well and truly 110. Oscar Allen pumped out a BCV ton as well. And Jake Waterman, for his first game of the season, also got a 63. So you're talking around that averages out around an 80. So that's three pretty big scores for their tools against the Swans. So that might be an option. You got a good ruckman. I think that they've got Richmond without Nank next week. So might be a nil-all draw between the rucks. But the tools against the Swans, you might be able to score a few sneaky points. And last but not least, the Eagles are back and looking forward to a good run against Adelaide and then the Dockers in the next 2 weeks. So time to stream some West Coast players.
I'm sure Kennedy and maybe even a Darling might be available on your waiver wires there. Cam, run us through the Cats and the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, so as much as I hate to say it, boys, I think we've hit Fiorini season.
No, we haven't.
Matt?
No.
We haven't? We're not there?
Choose to ignore it until it happens.
So, yeah, obviously Matt Rao dislocated his shoulder in the first term, actually courtesy of a Brandon Parfit tackle, and the prognosis isn't great. He is expected to miss a couple of months if the early reports are correct. All of a sudden, this brings someone like Fiorini back into the picture. You'd imagine he gets the nod over someone like Anthony Miles, who just recovered from his own long-term injury. But who knows? Drew really isn't a fan of Fiorini. So I guess keep a watch on the waivers.
Why is he in the leadership team if he's not a fan?
It's probably voted by the players.
Yeah, but you still get a tick in the box, mate. It's good to see the players have their say. But I just think... he was playing for that team until the Jets come in. So we're talking the young Jets. One of the things that's really made him go well is that physical presence inside. And I'm thinking there's only one or two players that can come in and do that. And he's one of them.
Yep. Yeah, so it could absolutely be time for him to just go bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you throw out a trade offer for him? Or do you think it's probably, you know, the owner?
I did it 2 weeks ago when he was... when I think it's always a case you do it before the inevitable happens, if that makes sense. Because while he's not playing, he's much cheaper than, ooh, Rao's out, he's going to be in this week.
Well, Swallow and Greenwood got the bumps on that, didn't they?
Oh, no doubt. And that's... I'm a little bit cautious on Greenwood's scoring bump this week because it may not be totally
scenario,
real.
Does Darcy McPherson get a run through that midfield? We've seen it before in the JLT, so who knows?
Yeah, plenty in it to have a look at. And, you know, speaking of Brandon Parfit just before, how about that year so far, hey? He's ranked first in the league for tackles per game and fourth in the league for tackles overall, which is pretty amazing considering he's missed two of the five games. He's averaging a whopping 10 per game. And I think the concern for me is actually his disposal output. So he's averaging 14.7 disposals per game. And my question, I guess, to Stato and Jono, is a score built mainly around tackling sustainable in the shorter format?
Well, we saw Devon Smith do 8 tackles a game couple of years ago. It's all about sustainability.
But in the shorter format, though, what do you think? Do you think it's something that's sustainable, or would you be a bit concerned as an owner that he's probably going to have some troughs through the year
I
as well.
I think there'll be troughs. And it depends on how Jack Stephen goes as well. I mean, he, from what I saw, he looked absolutely cooked. Like, he's been down to KFC a few times for a few chicken tendy meals.
He certainly hasn't had any chicken nugget palmers. He's had some big ones.
He's had some real
palmers. He's had the $10 dirty palmer and pot down at the local there at the Cremorne or something like that.
I will say, with your boy, is it more of a case of when his next injury comes?
Yeah, it could be, for sure. Yeah, and I let's see how long his body holds up under the under that pressure. Final point, though, for this one is, Tom Stewart being awesome for the Cats over the last two years because he plays that intercepting defender role, but he's also a fantastic kick, so they look for him to set up a lot of attacks. Of course, he's not going to be an intercept defender, but Zach Tui sure saw a lot more of the ball when the Cats were trying to enter the forward 50.
Right.
And he finished with the 5 inside 50s, which is well up on his season average, and even his last season average. The increased ball use led to 74 AFL Fantasy and 93 Supercoach, and he could probably continue that until Stewart gets back.
Nice little sell high candidate. Stater, you checked out the Dogs and North Melbourne.
Well, it looks like Doss jumped off the English train a little too early. A ton last week and 99 this week. Please, owners, don't expect this every single week, but keeper owners should be very, very happy because they've been waiting for this for quite a while. Now, I wouldn't go Burko, but if you're in a redraft, I think we need to be honest here that at the moment we've got the big three, the three Gs, and it's probably fair to say that there's probably a big two and a second tierer. I think English joins Goldie next year in the second tier, in a close second tier, because his running power is just extraordinary.
He kept Goldie honest, didn't he? Absolutely honest.
He did. My last point will sort of deal with that. But there might have been a major difference in the scoring if something else didn't happen. But we'll talk about that later on. Now, with the Bulldogs, Bont got tagged. Bailey Smith got knocked out in the first couple of minutes. But still, the Bulldogs midfield was on top with excellent pressure. This does explain the midfield merry-go-round that we see at the Bulldogs. So McLean got a bump this week. Vandermeer got some outside midfield time and looked really good until he looked like he was KO'd as well. So just be mindful, owners, that this is part of the deal. This is why McRae's even up and down. He's an absolute ball magnet. There's just so many good midfield options at that club. And half of them have got to play flanks and outside when they could be
and
inside.
Lockie Hunter,
that's
back
just the reality
this week as well.
Yep. There you go. So there's some real challenges within that list because there is so much talent, but they are playing good. Now, going to your point, to your question, Jono, the last one here is Goldie owners will be praying for Sherry to be dropped to bring in another forward option because he is missing out big time on that junk time scoring that we normally see from the Gorns and the Grundies, and probably missed out on a 120 plus score, but instead he had to settle for a solid at 94. For the last 10 minutes of that game, the game was iced because they wanted to give Sherry a bit of time in the ruck. Then Goldie just sat deep forward and went down there twice for the last 10 minutes of the game. That's an easy rack up for him for 15 to 20 points and could have made all the difference for those that had him with the big C, which was certainly me and off-brand, so I wasn't too happy at the time. But I'm sure they would look at that. Is he providing as much up forward? I would say probably not as much as they would like. He's got some promise, Sherry. There's no doubt for a big list keeper or a dynasty lead, he's actually worth putting on because you've got to remember Goldie is getting on. I think he's just turned 32 recently, so he's not going to be there forever. Sherry is going to be good, but the mix for the club might be to actually have a forward there rather than who can pinch hit in the ruck rather than a second ruck.
Just on Timmy English, been spending a bit of time back in defence there, filling, taking the inter. Is it a hopeful prayer that we might see him get a bit of defender status down the track? Or
you're kidding yourself.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You're wishful thinking. Can I say the highlight of the game was his mark in the forward line. Just an absolute scrummer. Absolutely shocking kick afterwards, but the mark was just sensational. So great highlights there.
Absolutely. Lions and Port, take us through it, Cam.
Yeah, everyone's been talking about the McCluggage season and all the other seasons, but the one season that is truly this year is the season of the Big O. It's Oscar McInerney's season. He's been having a great year and was pretty damn good again with 74 AFL fantasy and 123 super coach. He split the ruck almost 50-50 with Big Steph in this game. And I'm not too sure if it's just Steph maybe still lingering with that PCL.
Steph is cooked.
Or if he's completely cooked. Correct. And so, you know, it's probably more of a super coach play, but if at some point Steph's left out of the squad entirely because he is cooked, then man, he could be really viable. He's got the dual position status, he's a ruck forward, and if he has an output of 74 splitting the ruck, we know that rucks are going big this year. There's every chance he's a really good scorer.
We've seen though Brisbane run the two ruck setup because when Martin was out, they brought in Archie Smith. So let's just hope McInerney can just keep going and get that sole ruck on his own, because he'll be an absolute monster if he could.
Absolutely. And then the next one is Harris Andrews. He's built himself a bit of a nice shirt. He's got a nice little front pocket. And week in, week out, he's just putting key forwards in there. He's absolutely dominating those forwards. And this was no exception. He held Charlie Dixon goalless, which is actually a hard thing to do this year. Been an absolute monster. So for those with Tommy Hawkins, next week versus the Cats could be a rough day out. So maybe consider streaming someone else.
And Cam, I've got to say this, the pocket analogy was way too long for the payoff.
That's what my wife would say about my bed performance. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago about Rocky being the big loser of the numbers around the ball. And again, he had just the 66% time on ground and he didn't look overly good, managing just the one centre clearance and in an area where the Lions just completely destroyed them 13-5. Speaking of those clearances, though, Port actually really struggled against the Brisbane Talls. They were able to consistently influence the play within the forward 50, and even though they didn't hit the scoreboard that often, they often brought it to ground favourably and led to scores. So might be something to look for in regards to sides that go into games with a tall forward line against Port, because their defence line is actually quite short, could score quite well. And so on deck, they've got GWS next week with Jeremy Cameron and Finlayson. Could be interesting matchups there.
And who was the top scorer for the match for Port Adelaide?
Oh, I think it was Dan Houston. No, wasn't it?
In Supercoach, no. I think it was.
Oh, was it Travis Boak?
No.
Was it
Connor Rosie?
It's
no.
Was it Zach Butters?
That's me.
Again, another one. DOS, suck it.
Did you like my post that I put Butters greater than Rosie?
At the moment.
Yes.
I didn't get a bite from him.
He's probably too busy crying in the corner at the moment. I had the great pleasure of checking out the Crows and the Fremantle Dockers. And
oh, my God.
The Crows are absolutely cooked. We know they're in full rebuild, but it was Brayshaw and Chera season all day long. Oh. And the fact that they only took 10 CBAs between them, with Brayshaw attending 7 and Chera 3, from 86% time on ground from Brayshaw and 91% from Chera is absolutely amazing. They absolutely smashed it in the scoring. Walters was the main man in the middle. He was tagged but still scored pretty well. Mundy, Steve Flagler last week said he'd probably get a bit of a bump. He did. He was basically just floating around, doing whatever the hell he liked, just racking up the ball at will. Tucker was running through the midfield as well, but slowed down in the second half. And early on in the game, I had Luke Ryan as a buy-low candidate, but the way Adelaide were just kicking that ball inside 50, he got an absolutely massive bump. Still playing as that lockdown defender, but without Joel Hamling. But I think he got a bit of a time off because they brought in another tall defender in. Who's it, Duman? Is it Duman?
Duman,
yeah. Yep. So he got a bit of a reprieve there. So if they continue that role, then we can expect Luke Ryan to continue to score well. But if they do drop him, then he'll go back to defending. So I know he had the good scores and not worth throwing out the trade offer this week, I think, with that.
What do you reckon with Reece Conker going down? Is that maybe the end of potential Chera breakout? Is that because he probably goes back to fill that role, I would think?
Unless they bring well, Blakely was essentially named on the extended interchange but didn't get up, so they could throw Blakely in that role while Chera... Like, Chera and Brayshaw, they were fantastic. They literally got to run around and do whatever the hell they wanted, basically. So, I think Blakely comes in. It could be worth a bit of a nibble, but I don't think Blakely's going to score well. But I'd be looking more at Chera. Even though he is over our 65% ownership, he's still worth a nibble, I think.
Yep.
Is that what you do with the chicken nugget? You nibble it.
You can't. It's one bite.
It's that thing. You just swallow it whole, mate. Just swallow it whole.
Are we still doing phrasing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are. That was basically it. Freo looked to have that kick mark, high possession game, that uncontested game that Hawthorn have run for many years, except that Freo can't hit targets and just not quite there yet, their ball use. So if they can get it up there, there's going to be a lot of uncontested marks, a lot of junk time scoring from the Freo Dockers going forward for them. And Adelaide, yeah, I'd just be selling everything I can on them. There's probably the Crouch Boys and Riley O'Brien. That's about it, who I'm liking, because the rest just pretty much are all stinking it up at the moment. The D's and the Tigers. Stato, what have you got?
Injury City for the Tigers, with Nank, Meatball and Cochin all going down before they fly out to Queensland. And there is a bit of talk that a few senior players won't go. So there's going to be a fair bit of space.
Has been confirmed Shane Edwards and Basher to miss the hub.
Ooh, Shane Edwards.
So you're talking, that's five replacements that they will need in that team, and quite a few of those are actual runners. So Hooley owners will be the ones that get hit the most, but looks unfortunately like it might be a serious knee injury for Meatball.
Ankle, so only an ankle.
For the year. Ankle.
Ankle it was.
Only an ankle.
Yeah, so maybe a couple of weeks.
That is great. That is fantastic news.
He confirmed it at the end of the coverage.
Brilliant. So you'd think that this might be an opportunity for Soldo, Ross, Graham, and or Pickett to stake their claim back in that team.
I've got Bolter.
So there'll be some... Sorry?
Bolter, I think, is going to be the bigger winner if Hooley's out, because he was actually pretty good with Hooley in on the...
Thanks for stealing my points.
Okay, no worries,
Jono.
No worries.
We'll get to that one a little bit later. I'm just talking about the people coming into the team that will be available for the coaches on the waiver wire. The second point is Max was just simply a class above, scoring 131. Now, put that into perspective, a BCV score of 164. I know we've been long a show that's talked about leave the rucks late in drafts, but it may be just this year, but right now we've got two of the top three scorers are ruckmen, and then of course my boy Lockie Neal. The elite deserve their place in the first round, so take note, right now we've got two absolute superstars. We used to have a ruck one and two merry-go-round. Each year there'll be different people. The one that used to show that a little bit different was Dean Cox. Well, we've got two absolute jets right now, and they deserve their place in the first round. And I've been one of those people that have always avoided them, but no longer. We've got to get on board. And last but not least, The Tigers have found another tall defender. Noah Bolter was fantastic.
What?
Who is this man you speak of?
Yeah. We've seen him in the ruck. We've seen him up forward. But as a key defender, he looks like he's got some scoring chops. 77, just shy of a BCV ton, which included 8 marks. Very impressive. And no doubt, Jono, you probably have it at hand, but I reckon with the amount of marks he took in defence that he would have had a massive super coach score.
I would think so, but he actually didn't. It was around about 88. Wow. 88. So, but that would have...
Surprising.
Well, that would have been BCV at 110, 120.
Yeah. So, yeah, but very impressive.
Good upside.
He's got a role, and it's amazing how Richmond can keep on losing key tools and finding others. That's quite remarkable. I'll be very surprised if he loses his spot now. I think that's his spot.
He came in for Asprey, who we know is out for, 6-7 weeks. And we saw Bolter last year, who was okay without being, brilliant. But I think now with Asprey out that he's going to be the guy to play that second tall, maybe even a bit more intercepting, because Chol was down there as well. So I think Bolter's going to be the main interceptor with Chol and Grimes as your lockdown defenders there.
Mm-hmm. No, very impressive.
Absolutely. And while we're recording this, the Hawks and the Giants are in action. Only got to saw up to half time. And in the first quarter, as we know, it was all about Segler, but he was getting absolutely destroyed by Mummy. So in the second quarter, they threw in Big Boy McAvoy and was actually starting to break even and win the hitouts against Mummy, giving the Hawks a bit more of a chance. So it might be something going forward with Hawthorn that, if they're up against a bigger bodied ruckman, that they're going to throw Big Boy back in there, and he was doing quite a pretty good job. Harry Perryman, he is absolutely superb in this game, playing off the halfback, pushing up the wing. He's got a pretty cushy role. He's taking marks left, right, and centre. He's got plenty of possessions. Just before I had a look, he was almost close to the ton in both formats, and that's a real ton, not the BCV
my
tons.
Boy. My boy.
I'm going to claim him. I like him. He's mine now.
No.
And while we thought it was defenders against GWS, it seems to have gone the other way around in this game. As I said, you got Harry Perryman going crazy. Heath Shaw was having a banger game. Nick Haynes, Whitfield, all these guys are absolutely going great guns. So something to maybe watch going forward, that defenders against Hawthorn could be a quality thing. So, and those who held Coniglio or have Coniglio, he hasn't got a massive bump, but he has got a little bit of a bump. He's scoring okay at the moment as well. So be keen to see how this rest of this game plays out. And also the De Boer tag, it went to Jimmy Warple, and they leaving Tom Mitchell and O'Meara run free and doing whatever the hell they like. So interesting one there.
Well, it's working for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We are now going to move on to the questions for this week. Thanks, everyone, for chucking them in. Going to start off with Clarkey. He says he picked up the Sharon Goat this week. Is he worth holding? Looks like I'll need advice on the defender to stream if Basher is staying home. So, look, Basher is staying home. Picked up the Sharon Goat. He looked all right. I'm not too sure how Jordan Rufford's going to pull up, if he's, because we do know his wife had that medical condition, and he has come out and said he will stay home if that's the case. So it's Lyndon Dunn's going to come back in, you would think, and go to the hub. So Sharon Goat and Darcy Moore season all day long.
I think I read something earlier today that Roughhead is going to the hub with his wife.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Steve S. asks, why is Jordan Dawson a bad guy at stats?
It's all about his role, unfortunately. I don't know what Doss wanted from him, but I think the coach of Sydney has decided where he's best for the club. And what it does is it ensures that Lloydie, who is a fantasy Jet can actually perform that role. Because what happens when Dawson goes down there and gets the cheap one, it means that Lloyd loses it. So I'd rather have Lloyd than Dawson and half Lloyd.
Russ2468 asks, how good did Jono's chicken nugget look? It was very good and also very tasty. Some bloke, Hayden Kenny?
Never heard of this bloke.
He's got a two-parter. We'll give him a little bit of airtime.
Oh, let me guess.
Who is a logical replacement for Matt Rowe this week? And B, when does Dew let Lemons know he's got the call up?
Oh, Dossie boy, sense of humour.
Yeah, so there's a few other people answering, saying that Swallow took the CBAs after Rowe, which we spoke about. Rankin from Breno, he said maybe Rankin comes in if he's fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a couple others saying it is Fiorini season, but we'll have to wait till teams drop next week.
Who knows?
And surely the Hansard, any advice on how I should go about shit-talking the season and saying that win with an asterisk doesn't mean anything?
I think I talked about this at the start. It's not a shit season. It's fantastic. We've got a season. We should be very thankful. And if you win any competition, any league this year, you should be overjoyed because, and I'll be honest, I've been in this game for, it's probably 20 years now. I've never had so much fun working out how we're capable of managing this. And it's funny, I've changed half my list in the last week and a half and the listener league keeper. I traded out 15 out of the 30. There you go.
Wow.
And I'm already, because I've noticed that it wasn't going to happen this year, so I'm already preparing for next year. But also now look at the list, and if the majority of them get on the park and the way that this corona ball's going, you just never know. You just never know. So I think it's exciting. Have fun.
And Scott Warwick, gravy on the mini Palmer. What the fuck? Anyone putting gravy on a Palmer just needs to be taken out the back and pull the curtain up, the old 22.
I don't care what you call it, a Palmy or a Palmer. It's the tomato and the cheese bit is not my go.
And the ham. And the smoked ham.
No, I'm with you. Give me the throw gravy on it.
Peppered sauce.
Yep, mushroom sauce. Literally any other sauce.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't care what you say. It's actually the Palmer bit that I don't like. That's why I don't really care what you bloody call it. I'm happy to have a schnitzel with peppered sauce, skip the chips and salad. And if you want to do it, well, cut up the schnitzel, chuck it on top of the salad and have it for breakfast.
We're reaching into uncomfortable territories here, boys.
It's been a while since I brought up salads.
Moving on to the waiver wire pickups. When we talk all things waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy 65% ownership or less, just so those in the bigger leagues have a bit of a chance. And Stato, why don't you run us through your waiver wire pickups, please?
We did mention a couple. So Noah Bolter, I think, is a great one there. Noting that he's a ruck forward, even though it looks like he's going to be playing in defence. He won't gain defender status. You can only have two. You can't have a third. But in a keeper, he's 21 years of old, very athletic, a really good kick. He can take a mark. I think there's some real potential here that he might be a keeper. So 77 he scored this week. I think it's really impressive. Good start. If you're short for a bit of ruck support or you're short a forward, go and pick Noah Bolter up. Next one, Nick Caulfield. Can you believe that he's only 63% owned? Now, we've been waiting for this a long time. I think it's his fourth season, but starting to play very well. It's what we've been waiting for. He's averaging around the 60 after
69.5.
Slow start to the year. So very impressive. Get on top of him. If another defender, and I know a couple of questions come up and saying that the defender lines are being hurt, especially with people like Hooley and co missing out of the hub life. Robbie Tarrant from North Melbourne, defender, only 32% owned. His last four scores are 70, 50, 59 and 77. Again, with those innocent marks, so it'd be good in Super Coach as well. That's an average of 64, sorry for using this again, the BCV. It's about an 80, but of course, as I mentioned, even better in Super Coach. Dean Kent. It's only played the three games, 270s within that. It is matchup dependent, so you've got to be mindful of that. He's only 28% owned, but certainly worth a stream. Now, one we thought was going to be a really good fantasy player about 4 or 5 years ago, and it just hasn't eventuated, is Luke McDonald. At North Melbourne, he's got defender status. He's only owned by 28%. His last two games have been really impressive, and it looks like he may be starting to get a bit of midfield time, more in a defensive role, but it means you're around the footy a lot. So played a defensive role on the weekend against Bont, so he was the one that actually did that role and scored quite well. So it's only the last 2 weeks he got good score, just worthwhile streamer. We've known for a long time he was going to be a good player. We just haven't seen those scores, so... he's finally putting that on the board.
Do you reckon that's because Marley Williams came back and they could then...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it could be. You're also covering Cunnington wasn't inside.
Yeah.
So you all of a sudden had a free space. So rather than taking him on, which North would probably, under Shorey, would normally do, without Cunnington you lose a bit of the drive. So maybe they're thinking we'll go part defence, part attack.
Good one. Fair enough. What do you got there, Cam?
The first one's just probably a stream option for next week, but Bailey Dale from the Dogs.
Yeah, it was good.
Been playing pretty good footy, and it's maybe more for your Super Coach, but you could almost trust him in AFL fantasy as well. They've got Carlton next week, and his last two scores have been 74 and 64 in the AFL fantasy format. I'd expect the Dogs to get on top of Carlton next week, and he could kick a few. Just with the injuries to Cochin and Prestia going into the hub, I'd seriously consider Jack Ross at 20%. Will be, you know, if they're going to miss a couple of weeks or even the entire hub, it's well worth the next 4 weeks having a good streamer for that. And yeah, I also had Bolto, Caulfield and McDonald. I think they're all rippers.
What about Jack Graham? So I've gone and picked him up. Yeah,
I've got Graham at 49% as one of my pickups. Yeah. It's one or the other, I think. But if Cochin and Prestia are out, I think they bring both of them in.
Yeah, it could be both. I won't be... Because Cochin and Prestia just, you know, head over the ball, get the ball out. I think that's probably Jack Ross and Graham rather than Pickett.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And just to finish off, Cam, question for you. Darcy Fort's 19% as a forward and sole rucked against Jared Whitson. Scored pretty well. Is Ree Stanley going to come back, or do you think Fort maintains that position going forward?
I think he's doing pretty well, but I'd say Stanley comes back because it gives him a different dimension.
Okay.
I heard on a radio broadcast, I can't remember, it might have been crunch time, but I did hear them talk about there are some players that play really well first up. So, in other words, that they come back in, whether it be after injury or after being dropped, etc., and perform really well. And they said Rhys Stanley is one of those. So it's like you bring him in, he excels, then he drops away, you give him a rest, get the fire back in the belly and bring him back in. So it may be part of the tactics, which also might be this is the right matchup for him to excel.
Yeah, and it actually would be a bad position as well. Darcy Ford is listed as a forward, 19%. And if they're going up against, who'd you say, Sydney next week, who do have defensive tags on the tall forwards. No, other way around.
I think they got the Lions, I think.
Lions, sorry. With Harris Andrews on Tommy Hawkins, Darcy Ford can go forward and maybe kick a couple of snags. So worth a pickup there. Oscar Allen got a couple of pretty good matchups, did pretty well. He's at 29%, had the 3 goals, 7 hit-outs, 6 marks. And he's up against Fremantle and the Crows in the coming weeks. So with Sean Darcy doing predominantly the ruck there, with Roy Lobb backing up, a chance there, and I had the rest of the guys there as well. So pretty similar waiver wire pickups for this week.
If he's there, just one last one. I don't know what his ownership is. It's probably pretty high, but it would have gone down through the year. Maybe consider Big Boy. If he's floating around in a waiver somewhere, might be a good stash with that, with him picking up a bit more of the ruck from Segler. I mean, at the moment, as we're recording, he's sitting on 61 AFL fantasy points in the third quarter. Pretty handy.
79 Supercoach, 2 goals as well. So, yeah, worth a look. Worth a look, I would say. Anything else to go on, boys?
I just have a question. Obviously, we did enjoyed a lot of ISO drafts during our little off time. Now we're all going to the hubs. We're going to have hub drafts.
Well, they reckon by round 10, when the Victorian teams are finished, there might be a week or two break while the AFL sort things out. So it might be an opportunity for us to do some hub drafts coming back in. So Steve and I did have a little bit of a chat about this, and one thing that we overlooked while doing our ISO drafts was our favourite kitchen appliances. So maybe one to look at going forward.
Good to see. We might be back, peeps.
We might be back. Who knows? But that was floated on the Sunday AFL footy show. So they reckon that there could be a week or two break while teams come back in from the hubs and quarantine and work out how the fixture's going to roll on. All right, that is going to wrap up the show for this week. We thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.
Fucking Jeremy Cameron, you're a fucking hack.